Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday. Even if the 49ers don't play till Monday, we get that extra day. We still have time for Coach Approach. I'm here with the man himself, Ant from 49ers Cutback. How are we doing today, Ant?
Doing great. Yeah, and I love the extra day. You know, prime time, Monday night. There's a different feel to Monday night for whatever reason. Maybe it's because of when we grew up and you had the song and the it was all amped up. You know, we got Frank and Al and Dan, we're going to get, yeah, the whole thing is, I just feel that vibe, and that's how I feel this weekend. It's playoff implications for Carolina and for the 49ers. If the 49ers win this game, 91% chance of making the playoffs, according to Next Gen Stats. So this is a huge one. If they lose, it goes down to like 68%. So the vibes are there. The Panthers, they need a win too. They're trying to catch the Buccaneers. And if they win, they go over 30% chance of making the playoffs, which doesn't seem significant. But when you only have a 21% chance right now, it is significant.
Yeah, they're fighting, and it's weird because one of the biggest things about this game that I don't want to say scares me or whatever is because you hold the tiebreaker against everybody in division and in the conference. The only team you don't hold the tiebreaker to is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers currently. And if you lose this game, you wouldn't hold it to the Carolina Panthers either, and they're 1-2 in their division. So, you know, I doubt that the 49ers are going to be winning the NFC West. It's the best division in football. You're two games back, whatever else. But, man, losing this game, you lose that tiebreaker to not one but two teams that have very similar record as you would. You would all have kind of that 4-5 loss range. So it's a big deal. This game has major implications, even though it's not a divisional game. Whenever it comes to those playoff seedings, if you get this tiebreaker and you push probably one of the teams that's competing to knock you out of that seventh spot with the Carolina Panthers, just gives you not only a whole nother game up on them, but that tiebreaker as well. And that's huge. Shout out to my man, RTPFTW. He's got it. Hashtag CC. Hashtag TCA. He says, what's up, fellas, Niners? Week 12, Monday Night Football. And that extra day, you even heard George Kittle talk about it, how, man, you get that extra day off. The 49ers haven't even had a full practice yet. So the Wednesday practice report that we usually go through on today's show, man, Niners just get that extra 24 hours, which I used to my benefit as well. I rested. I relaxed. I watched some house shows. I watched all kinds of TV with the wife. It was a good day. But, man, I'm back. So, one thing that 49ers fans not too excited about, Ant, brought in a new kicker. Eddie P, he's got the hamstring issue. Matt Gay, I got so many DMs and emails. We signed a kicker that lost his job to Jake Moody. What are they doing? What are your thoughts on the new kicker and kind of the Band-Aid approach to the position?
Yeah, what was funny is when Matt Gay got released, I did text in our group chat some friends that I have, and I said, Matt Gay to San Francisco is going to happen. I had a feeling, and I know they weren't really talking about bringing him in initially. It was Anders Carlson, and it was, you know, some other guys, John Parker Romo. But they're bringing in a guy who's been playing NFL football right now. He's a veteran kicker. He understands how to kick in certain environments. And yeah, he had two misses last week, and they pulled the trigger on moving to Jake Moody. I think it was a smart decision for the Commanders anyways. Go see what Jake Moody has. You're not a very good team right now, and maybe you can find your kicker of the future. And for the 49ers, they had to find a couple of things. Number one, they wanted a veteran because that's worked out for them with Eddie Pinheiro. They also needed somebody that knew this was going to be a short-term gig and somebody that was willing to sign with their practice squad. And Matt Gay fit all the criteria that you need. I think he'll do just fine. My guess is with the battery of players that they have with John Weeks and with the holder and everything that they got going on here with Morstead, I think that he'll do pretty well, and the 49ers will have success in the short term until they can get Eddie Pinheiro back, and then we'll be back to business of a guy who just makes every single kick, it feels like.
Yeah, it's just a short-term replacement. I want the experience. not too upset. I want Thomas Morstead to keep handling kickoffs. So did you see? Like, dude just comes out cold, drops it right on the five at the bottom of the numbers, just first kick, just like, this is easy. This is I freaking love Thomas Morstead, man. Am I crazy? I said on my breakdown earlier this morning over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, I said, dude, this is the best punting year the 49ers have had since Andy Lee. Like, am I crazy in saying that?
No, I don't think so. I love the stability, right? You weren't going to get the long distance that, you know, from Thomas Morstead. That's not what he does, but you get his stability. It seems like every single kick is where it's supposed to be. If it's supposed to be inside the 10, it's going to be in the 10. If it's going to needs to be angled to the sideline, it's going to be angled to the sideline. He doesn't really miss. We haven't had those muffs. So he's been consistent. And that was one of the things they really needed from this position was consistency. You weren't getting that with Mitch Wisnowski. It was kind of hit and miss. It was either really good or kind of really bad. And so that was one of the whole methods to the madness of Brant Boyer to bring up the level of special teams was to get guys who were going to be consistent. And that's what they found.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And we got a comment here from David Gill. He's one of our producers. He says, let's go Monday Night Football. Did you see Brandon Cooks was released? Does this entice you in any way, shape, or form? Or the 49ers wide receiver room seems like it's finally getting healthy. They just waived Russell Gage off of the practice squad. Jacob Cowing, there's even rumors he might come back. You know, Jordan Watkins was a healthy scratch. Does the Brandon Cooks move the needle at all for you?
I don't think so. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I actually, when I was a young coach, coached Brandon Cooks
what?
A little
I didn't
bit.
Know
so
this.
I have a direct connection to Brandon Cooks. And, you know, one of my friends is really good friends with his brother. And so we do have connections. So we hear all about who and where and all that stuff. So it came through early yesterday. We knew that Brandon Cooks was going to be on the move. I don't think it works out in San Francisco. I do know Brandon Cooks wants to play for a contender. He would love to be on the West Coast. Los Angeles Rams, even Seattle Seahawks are teams that I know that he would be interested in because he does live in Oregon. So this is a situation where he would love to kind of move this direction. But make no mistake, Brandon Cooks is looking for a contender. He wants to go out and try to win at the end of his career. That's kind of what he's looking at right now. He knows he's got maybe a year or two left potentially, but I don't think it's San Francisco now with the wide receiver room that they had. If you'd have talked to me maybe week two, week three, and this was happening, I would have said, yeah, Brandon Cooks makes a lot of sense for the 49ers because I do know he had conversations with John Lynch during the offseason.
Oh, there we go. We do know that he had those. I love that. Shout out to my man, Phil. Appreciate the super chat. He says, if the Panthers have Lamar Jackson is on the field, the Panthers will be a force to reckon with, but they ain't got him. But here's the question, because the NFC player of the week, offensive player of the week, was Bryce Young, their quarterback. He had over 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Like, they seem to be kind of humming, and they've had a really good season overall. But, I mean, the first game to win against a team with a winning record, they have one win, the Green Bay Packers. Outside of that, every single one of their wins against teams with losing records and in division, I don't know. What do you think about Bryce Young? Because, like, I watched some tape, and I'm just like, this ain't it. And then I watch other take, and I'm like, damn, that's a really, really good read. Seems to be on point. His time tempo's good. He's like processing through his reads well, but it's just not consistent. How do you feel whenever you watch Bryce Young?
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young is a interesting player because I felt like he was completely lost last season until the stretch run. And then all of a sudden, he kind of had some things click, and it felt like he got on top of being a quarterback in the NFL. And I think that we see moments now where he kind of has the ability to make some of the throws, but he never really takes over a game. That's why last week was so interesting. We were talking about a Carolina Panthers team that averages under 200 yards per game through the air. And all of a sudden he goes off for 450. And I know Tedaro McMillan is a big reason why, because that has been a great connection for them. He's going to get over 1,000 yards in his rookie season and prove, you know, what he is as a wide receiver. But I think Bryce Young comes down to a guy that's a little inconsistent at times. If you get pressure on him, he's going to make mistakes. He doesn't consistently make the right plays. And so I don't know exactly who this guy is. I don't know if he's the guy that should have been a number one overall pick or if he should have been a guy that was a mid rounder. I think the size and all that plays into it as well. But I think at moments he figures it out. You can't just allow this guy to sit back there and feel comfortable. You got to come after and make him move. And he's a little less athletic than you would think. If you watch him a lot, There's not the athleticism you see from some of the other guys. You expect Bryce Young to have that ability. He really doesn't.
Ooh. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. I'm with you there. I'm not overly concerned, but when he's on, he's on. The problem is the 49ers defense, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. I want to get your overall assessment of where they are. Shout out to Vicky Morgan. She is, I call her sis all the time. She helps us with all the road trips and everything and 49ers rush gear and all that kind of stuff. Best of the best. Appreciate the super chat. She says, hey, family, watching your show this morning with the one and only Heather Morgan. For those of you that remember a couple months ago, we were sending up prayers and all the stuff for the operation of Heather Morgan. It went well. She's rocking her 49ers gear, fans for life. Thank you, guys. Make our lives better. Appreciate you so freaking much. That is awesome. So let me ask you this. Where do you see, Ant, the 49ers defense? Because, you know, you look at last week, 3 turnovers, whatever else. But then you look, man, broke the record for most completions without like a sack, gave up, you know, almost 500 total yards. It's this kind of like, man, are the 49ers, are defense hanging on by a thread? Are they contender type defense? Like, what do you do with them in their current state?
Yeah, this one's tough because I don't think that this defense is playing up to the level that I think even Robert Saleh expects them to play at. But I thought that they did some things schematically last week to allow this sort of offense of Jacoby Brissett and that unit in Arizona to kind of have some completions. And they were willing to let them move up and down the field a little bit. They protected their safeties. They did some things to make sure they weren't going to get beat on hole shots and just make Jacoby Brissett, you know, kind of matriculate down the field. And I think that that was important because that was part of the reason they had so many completions and they picked up so many yards. Is Robert Saleh was okay with that because he's looking up at the scoreboard and there's only 10 points. And so he didn't really have to get too aggressive. And so I think that that is part of it. But make no mistake, they struggled against the Rams the week before. They struggled this week against the Cardinals. And it feels like this team is going to have to find a way to generate pressure. And it hasn't worked out through the blitz. They haven't been able to get home with the pass rush. I think this is one of the things that makes me nervous about this defense and if they can do enough. Because right now, your offense is clicking and they're kind of trending in the right direction. Can your defense do enough? If they can hold true with that 23 points per game that they allow, then yeah, I don't really care about yards. As long as the points stay down, then I think they can and would be in the mix of every single game they play if they could hold teams around that area, 23 points per game.
Yeah, and you know, we're getting these questions, and shout out to Niner Faithful. He says, you know, who is the guy that can provide that pressure on the quarterback? You just look at this past week. Kalia Davis led the team in pressures with 4. Bryce Huff had 3. Sam O 2. Keon White 2. Alfred Collins 1. Jordan Elliott 1. Bryce Huff seems to be the designated pass rusher, but I didn't think that it was overall a great game on tape of Bryce Huff against the Cardinals. How much of that is just Paris Johnson, you know, being a stud and, you know, using all those tight ends and whatever else. But like, Bryce Huff's the best pass rusher on the team. I don't think anybody would argue with that. Was there anything that you saw on tape, Ant, that was kind of like, man, maybe he's not fully back from that injury. Maybe he's not his true self yet. Maybe he can become that. And you're playing against 2 quality tackles again with the Carolina Panthers. Like, their offensive line ain't good, but Taylor Morton and Ike Mukwana, like, those are pretty solid athletic tackles and pass protection that you're going to be playing again this week.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Huff usually wins with the whole shot. I mean, that's kind of what he's done this season. And I know he's got more in his pass rush repertoire than just that, but we haven't seen that elite get off that he had before the injury. He's still doing a pretty good job bending the corner. And I thought that he did have moments where it looked like he was going to get home. But, you know, we're kind of looking back at Atlanta. That's where he was finishing teams off, was kind of in that range. And then that's the game he got hurt with the hamstring. So I expect it to get better and better probably over the next few weeks as he kind of re-engages with that hamstring. But he plays complementary football. He plays team defense when it comes to pass rush. And there are times that they were setting things up where he went inside and it was kind of allowing guys like Kalia Davis and those guys to come outside, because there is an emphasis on offensive linemen to pay attention to Bryce Huff because he is the most dangerous. I expect him to continue to get better. I actually thought he was going to have 1.5 sacks last week. That's what I kind of thought was going to happen. They did a good job on him. I thought Jacoby Brissett got rid of the football pretty good in that game. So it was a lot better than Jacoby Brissett had been holding on the football where he was taking 5-6 sacks a game. But yeah, Bryce Huff's got to get better, and I think he can.
And I think once they fell behind so much, they became one-dimensional. It was just like straight pass sets all the time, you know, like, look, it's grip it and rip it type of thing. Shout out to Campstead, the super chat. He says, you know, we had 5 sacks versus the Cardinals. How? Well, we had 5 holding card calls against the Cardinals, and that was huge. 17 penalties. I mean, they're not a well-coached football team. Campstead says, you know, I watched the tape since Monday, and they should have held even more. They held because we were about to pounce. So you were being disruptive. You were causing issues. You got some pressures. But the pass rush, like, the 49ers are dead last in the NFL in sacks, only 12. There are players with more sacks than the entire 49ers team. I don't expect that to change. However, if you could force teams to be one-dimensional and not blitz as much. I saw a report on Twitter today, and I apologize. I don't know who to give credit to. I feel really bad whenever I do that on the spot. But basically, the blitz percentage since Bosa and Warner have been out has gone down. The 49ers are actually blitzing less, which I think is very, very smart, because when you blitz with this secondary, bad things happen. The worst plays all season on the defensive side is when you brought 6-7 man pressure. I don't mind the 5-man pressures. I don't mind the simulated pressures, but I'm just like, when we blitz with guys like Jair Brown, I don't know. I would rather just keep everybody back in coverage and just say, look, we're going to win with offense. We're going to win with special teams, defense, bend but don't break, do what you can. But this is an offense and special teams driven formula to success. And if you win 2 out of 3 of the phases of the game, you know, your coach, like, you take that every single day, right?
Right. And the thing is, those turnovers were huge. It wasn't like Jacoby Brissett was turning the football over before he came into this game. He had 8 touchdowns and 1 interception. He was taking care of the ball. And then all of a sudden, the 49ers walk away with 2 of those. And, you know, one of those, D'Amore Lenore made it happen. He had Jacoby Brissett had to escape the pocket. There was a little bit of pressure, and then he makes a bad read and a bad throw, and D'Amador Lore absolutely pounced. I mean, he did a great job on that. And that's one of the things the 49ers can do. If you can't generate enough pass rush to get sacks, at least if you can make the quarterback move and make him have to make decisions, maybe even cut the field in half because he has to roll one way or the other, well, then that limits their effectiveness as well. So there are some things that you can do. But yeah, the five-man pressure is where the 49ers have to live. They have to go five. They can't go six and seven. When they do, right now, these quarterbacks are checking it down, finding screens, and those are turning into some bigger plays. So that's exactly what the method has to be, five or less for the 49ers, and play some coverage behind and hope you can generate some turnovers if you can. Those are big stops. Those are game-changing because short fields equal a 49ers offense that's crazy good in the red zone right now scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, I like that. And Shane, I want to get into this. This is, I get emails nonstop just about the strength and conditioning. Why are the injuries so much? What can we do? What can we not do right after this? Turkey, football, bad decisions, the Holy Trinity. MyBookie gives you a chance to make it all profitable. This week, MyBookie is loading the table with cash drops, boosted lines, same game parlays, and capped with a bomb on Black Friday, the return of the lock of the season. This is the bet every bettor talks about because it doesn't miss. One touchdown in the Black Friday game versus the Bears and Eagles. One trip to the end zone, you double your money. It is the for any team, any player, doesn't matter. One touchdown in the game, you double your money. It's the simplest bet you'll ever make. That's why I love MyBookie. And if you're watching the game with friends, they'll give you an extra bonus every time one of them signs up and makes a deposit. So bring a buddy in, stack your account while you guys win together. Start with my promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS when you sign up and grab a welcome bonus to get ahead. Load up, lock in, and enjoy the feast at MyBookie. Shout out to the man, Rob Lauder, Lieutenant Simple Jack. He says, obligatory coach approach hat tip, guys. Ah, he's the freaking man. Thank you, Rob Lauder. All you do for the community. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. So let's go back and let's talk just a little bit about, man, what is going on with this coaching staff and all the different things. Oh, I had it starred and now I'm losing it in the chat. Oh no, Shane, I lost your thing. But talk to me just about what you feel. The 49ers, you know, you've got a report coming out that, you know, they do things different. They want to do things their own way all the time. Here it is, Shane's thing. Just the report that the Niners strength and training staff do things differently than every other team via Marty M, I think, but not sure. I think that is right. We've had the same guy in charge since Shanahan showed up, and he's been with the team for 9 years now. What are your thoughts there? Am I crazy? Is he crazy? Is there conspiracy here? Oh, you're on mute. My bad. I think that's my fault. My bad. There we go.
No, it's my fault. I think I muted before you went into the ad. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know exactly what they do different, right? There's reports they do things different. I would like to know exactly what they do different. You know, is it the stretching? Is it the overall, you know, what they're requiring of these players to do? You would think that some of the guys who have been around for a while, guys like Kyle Juszczyk or George Kittle or Trent Williams, if things weren't working, they would say something about, hey, this training staff is not getting us prepared. It's not, you know, going the direction it should go. But I honestly have no idea. And I did see some of the stuff going around yesterday where people that said they were in the know that know these guys really well are saying the 49ers want to do everything their way. They want to do things differently. I think at some point, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan would have had to have looked at each other at some point and said, this isn't working, doing things differently. Let's go do what everyone else is doing. They're staying healthier than us. But I don't know for sure. This has been one of those conversations that's been frustrating, I think, because there's so many injuries. How much of it is the 49ers training staff? How much of it is just, you know, unforeseen circumstances with injuries? I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Something else, man. Now, along those lines, Niner Faithful says, Etergro's motto should be back after this Panthers game. That would help with the pass rush. The defensive ends, man, you're so slight. You're just missing so many of those guys. I don't put a lot of stock in Etergro's motto's coming back. just because, I mean, one, that knee's been injured for two straight years. Now the hamstring's involved. Conditioning's been a major issue with him. It'd be nice to have him back. It'd be nice to have anybody back. But I'm not counting on that. Shout out to my man, Christian Gomez. He built the 49ersrush.com. He's the best PB systems. Man, link in the description of this video podcast. You need some work on videos and kind of platforms and all those things. Go check it out in the link in the description. Trust me. It is worth your time. I want you to talk to me about one player that we're going to get to see this week. Curtis Robinson. Completely different player than Tatum Bethune, who's got the ankle. We'll go through the practice reports, whatever else, but I fully expect Curtis Robinson to be starting Mike this week. What are the things that you saw on tape and the strengths that, you know, big number 59 brings to this defense that's maybe a little different than Tatum Bethune?
Yeah, I like him in coverage. I think that this is where you're going to see the difference between the two linebacks. Tatum Bethune around the blocks, operating, making tackles in the run game. That's what he does really well. I think Curtis Robinson can do that, but I think he's a little bit further along when it comes to how he feels in zone coverage, how comfortable he is. You just look at some of the plays he made in this game, some boom, boom tackles. The end of the first half, they had a play that was coming up, and they got Michael Wilson right into the little zone there, and he got hit immediately by Curtis Robinson. Good feel in the middle of the field. He made some tackles underneath on Trey McBride as well. I think that that's where the advancement comes. I like the way he moves. He gives me some positive 49er linebacker vibes and coverage. It reminds me more of Fred than anybody else because of the way he moves in space. He's not Fred. I don't want anyone to think that, but just his movements and how he kind of feels in zone coverage is a lot different. So I think advancement when it comes to help against the pass, but maybe just a step back when it comes to how he plays the run the way Tatum Bethune does.
Yeah, and that kind of affects, you know, you look at what the Panthers try to do. Rico Dowdle is everything. That dude may be one of the most electric players in the NFL this year, which is just crazy out of nowhere. It only has five starts. But, yeah, Rico Dowdle, he's played some damn good ball. That's one of the things. He could do it in the pass and the run game. But Curtis Robinson, a lot of people don't realize, like, he has the same height, weight, speed, arm length as Fred Warner. Shout out to Anthony. He says, Curtis Robinson is Fred Warner from Temu, functional and fit. Yeah, you know, it's funny when we do the draft comparisons, like poor man's or, you know, watered down version or team. Yeah, like, that's not an insult. Being compared to number 54 in any way, shape, or form is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But, yeah, we'll see here. JP, my man, says, do you think the Panthers will put McMillan in the slot to try to attack Stout? The Panthers built, you know, they really like Jalen Coker. That's their slot guy. They have two extremely physically talented outside wide receivers in Xavier Leggett and Tet McMillan. I want to look up. Sorry, excuse me. What are your thoughts about putting Tet in the slot?
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I do think that there's going to be opportunities because they're probably going to go with some bigger tight end sets. I think that's going to be the method that some teams are going to try to do. It's a copycat league, and they saw what the Los Angeles Rams did. So I think there's going to be opportunities for that. I thought the Cardinals displayed that as well, putting Michael Wilson that one-on-one with Upton Stout. Now, I will say this. Upton Stout had pretty good coverage on that play. That was not a bad play, even though he got beat. He got outsized. It wasn't like he got smoked. He was right in his hip pocket. I did not think it was pass interference. I thought he was right there. I love the competition there. But I would think that, yeah, Carolina is going to look to take advantage of some of those matchups. But you brought up Jalen Coker. I think he'll spend the most time in the slot. But I think we'll probably see some looks where they try to get Leggett, use his speed and size, or Tetero McMillan to do the same thing. I mean, right now, that's the method, right? Go after Upton Stout. He's the weakest link of the 49ers cornerback room, and then you try to get on the safeties as well. Those are the two advantages that you have. The other one is probably targeting the Sam linebacker, no matter who it is. That has been kind of what offensive coordinators have done, and really what Sean McVay has showed the league. This is what you do.
Yeah, and, you know, I just looked up Tet's snap count on detailed positions on PFF. 97 snaps in the slot this season, 554 out wide. So you're looking at like a little less than 20%, probably about 17% in the slot. So that could take place. No doubt they'll motion and whatever and try to create those matchups. But understand this. you are playing against maybe the largest, biggest, like weight wise, height wise, wide receiver core in the NFL. This week, the 49ers have the smallest corners in the NFL. All of Demo's the biggest, and he was drafted to be a slot guy. Renardo Green was slot guy first as well. And then Upton Stout's the smallest dude on the 49ers team almost. So there is a big discrepancy here with these younger physical corners that are undersized against big athletic wide receivers. So that's a matchup to pay attention to, because this is a core tenet of the 49ers never used to draft corners that were not 6 foot, 200 pounds. Everybody had to be 6 foot, 200 pounds. Now, I mean, shoot, you look at Demo. What's Demo's height, weight? I want to make sure I get this right here.
It's like 5'10", I think.
Yeah, he's coming in at 5'10", 200 pounds. So he's got a little, you know, thick the britches, as we say in the South. But like 5'10". Tet's 6'5". He's 6'4". Xavier Leggett, that's a dude's built like Debo with a little bit extra. It's going to be interesting to see that matchup. It's by far, like, one of the most interesting matchups. Is the 49ers offense going to do what they do? 49ers offense is going to move the ball right now. And I really think that they're going to have that opportunity to do that. It's just, what can you get from the defense? So, like, is this one of those games where you see the defense going to be able to hold them to under 24 points? Because if you told me right now the Panthers score 24 points and that's it, Niners are winning this game.
Yeah, I do think so. I think 24 points would be kind of their ceiling. I know they scored 30 last week against Atlanta, but this is not an offense that normally scores. They 18.8 points per game is what Carolina normally does, and it's because of the inconsistencies. And usually when you see the running game not work and Rico Dowdle can't get going, they become one-dimensional. That's when they have problems. Xavier Leggett, even though he's extremely talented, he does drop the football a little bit. They're not as dangerous at tight end as some of the other teams the 49ers have faced. I do like Tommy Tremble. He can get going, but he's not going to wow anyone with his athleticism and his skill. So 49ers should be able to cover him with safeties on occasion. So I don't see the weapons to be able to consistently move the football against the 49ers if the 49ers can slow down the Carolina Panthers running game. I think this is going to be a huge emphasis in this game. I think if they can slow down that running game and put the pressure on Bryce, I do think the 49ers, whether they can generate a pass rush or not, they can get their hands up against a shorter quarterback and maybe get some balls that get knocked down. Alfred Collins, I expect him to get a push, get his hands up, and probably get his hands on a couple of footballs. And if you can generate a couple of turnovers, yeah, I think that they're not going to get to that 24 number that you're talking about.
Yeah, I like that. And shout out to my man Leon Sandcastle. He says, do you think Luter gets more snaps against these bigger wide receivers? I think if somebody starts to get bullied, I mean, Luter is by far the largest defensive back that the 49ers have on their roster. And got some snaps last week and continues just to kind of show, not the best special teamer, but he provides something a little bit different. And when Renardo Green had that mental lapse, dude, everybody jumped all over that dude on the sidelines. They sat him out for a drive, then brought him back in. Will Luter start to get more snaps?
I don't think so. No, they're rolling with Renardo Green. Renardo Green plays good against these guys, right? Like, he played good against DK Metcalf when Metcalf was with Seattle. He does do okay with the bigger physical wide receiver. I don't think they worry about that. I think the only change you could see here and there is they go to that big nickel with Jason Pinnock if they're worried about the size difference. Yeah, Pinnock did a really good job this week. So I think that kind of makes sense. And I think 49ers are looking for certain looks. I mean, you saw the film. 49ers had two defensive backs in the box when they had their eight-man box, Jason Pinnock and Jair Brown. Most of the time, I would take Alexander in a heartbeat. But anyways, yeah, those guys up there. So they were trying some different things. And I think that they'll probably continue that. We're probably going to see more Pinnock, but I don't think we're going to see more Luter Jr., even though he's done okay when he's been in so far this season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And yeah, look, I know that people are very frustrated with Upton Stout. Understand this. The nickel position is the hardest to play in the 49ers defense. They put the most, you have to play outside leverage consistently with no inside leverage help. You got to play in the B gap. It's just ridiculous from a run pass standpoint. So the degree of difficulty Upton Stout's going through, but his play continues to trend up. And I know people look at that contested catch that was made over him. It's a negative play in the sense of, man, that was a huge play of the game. But he's making progress to that. They see Upton Stout as a long-term A-plus player at that position. He's not there now, but it's all about younger, cheaper. This was the way in which the 49ers designed this offseason roster billing. They are very pleased with Upton Stout. Even though he's being targeted, even though he's being taken advantage of, even though the missed tackles on quarterback, there are more positive trends going on there than negative, and they're hoping to get him right by the time they're in the playoffs. This is one of those games where, look, even if he has some bad plays, you bring in Big Nickel. I want to see more Big Dime, to be honest with you. I want Curtis Robinson and six DBs out there instead of D Winners, personally. But I don't know. And I'll back off from that one. But yeah, they're not moving Demo to the slot at all. He has taken zero slot snaps this entire training camp, preseason, regular season. They paid him. They're keeping him outside, period. That ain't going to change. Shout out to my man, Rusty. He's been abroad. He went to the game in Madrid and I think the game in Berlin, which is awesome. Welcome back, brother. Miss you, man. He says, what about special teams for this game? I think the Panthers kicker is a knuckleballer that has them the second best in the league. They did pretty good against it against the Rams the first game, week five, whenever they had the knuckleball kicker, but then they fired him. What are your thoughts on special teams? Niners have been incredible. And, you know, you look at just kind of where the Panthers fit just from a PFF standpoint, they're the 20th ranked special teams group.
Yeah, I like the 49ers special teams right now. I think Pran Boyer's got them playing pretty well. It wasn't perfect last week, but there were moments where the special teams made huge plays. And so I like the return group now with Sky Moore and Brian Robinson. Is kind of pick your poison. You kick it to Sky Moore, he's got a chance to house call you, and everybody knows it now. And then Brian Robinson, he doesn't look fast. He doesn't look like he's really moving really great, but all of a sudden you find him near midfield, and those types of things wear on a football team because you're at midfield. You need, what, 20 yards for a chip shot field goal? So they're changing the game that way, and it all started with the method of let's be more consistent, and that's what you're getting, more consistent play from the special teams. I expect now every single week for the 49ers to go outplay the special teams unit they're playing. That's just my expectation because of what they've been able to put on film recently. And I want that to continue. And I think they can do that this week against Carolina.
Ooh. All right, Ben, he's got a question. How much more Nick Martin do we get to see this week? You talked about Sam linebacker, that number three, and coverage been a problem. Dude, blitz, five-man pressure. This is what Nick Martin's specialty is. Logan agrees, man. I wish we would send Nick Martin on some blitz packages. Will we see Nick Martin in the same spot again? And two, do you think we'll see him get some pressures?
I do think we're going to see him in the same spot. I think he's going to take over that Sam linebacker role. I don't think there's going to be a lot more snaps. Depending on what groupings you're getting, I think he's still going to be kind of in that 14 to 20 plays a game. And I do think that they're going to start bringing him because he's a natural guy with instincts, right? When he's moving, he's better. When he has to sit and read, it takes him an extra tick right now. But when he's on the move, he's going. I had linebackers that I coached before. If I blitzed them, they're phenomenal. If I didn't blitz them, it felt like they were just taking forever to get there. So he's an on the move, go get them type guy. And I do think his speed and athleticism could be just what the pass rush needs. Run him on some stunts, you know, simulate some stuff with him and bring him around the edge. That guy is a freak athlete. I mean, you could just see the difference when he's out there. He's nuts.
Yeah, I like that. Ronnie, he says, John, off topic, where can we follow your bets for the game? We post our bets every single week, usually Saturday, might be Sunday this week because the Niners, I want to see how the whatever goes. That's on the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. We post them on both. So wherever it is, 49ersrush.com is the site we built. We get more of that. So I strongly recommend checking us out there. Every week, we went 4 of 6 last week. It was a good week. So follow us and also support Ant. Ant, tell us a little bit about your Patreon page.
Yeah, 49ers Cutback, Patreon, film breakdown, standalone videos available over there. I'm going to try to do a live show on there pretty soon. I've been working towards that, so that'll be available. I'm going to either do that, you know, this weekend or start next week sometime, so that's coming as well if you guys want to jump on Patreon.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Mark has this question. How many passing yards will we give up this week? Over, under 400. Golly, man, that is a lot of passing yards. It scares me. I want to say under, but I'm a little hesitant, right? Like, it should automatically always be under. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going under.
I'm feeling comfortable going under. I don't think it's going to get to 400. I mean, yes, Bryce Young threw for over 400 yards last week against Atlanta. But there was a lot of circumstances to help play into that. You know, Kirk Cousins being in the game instead of Michael Penix Jr. Offense wasn't as good, gave Carolina more chances. I don't think that happens again. If you told me if this was over under 300, that we could have a real conversation. 400, I think that's too much. I think the 49ers will hold them under 400 for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Next up, I want to talk Ricky Pearsall because the film showed number one was the primary read like nonstop. It didn't work out. Will that change next week right after this?
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, we will be in Cleveland. We will be in Indianapolis. You can go get those tickets now. Go check those out. Hopefully you can party with us. Javier asked this. Will this be a massive game for Pearsall? Hi, John and Ant. Hi, Javier. What do you think about this? Pearsall moving forward. One catch, 0 yards. What do you expect from him this week?
Yeah, I expect him to get involved even more. You know, and I think that we saw him play more snaps last week than even I anticipated. We did see Kendrick Bourne's snaps get removed the most. Pearsall coming back is going to be huge that way. Some of the things that was going on in that game, they were rotating coverage towards Ricky Pearsall. It was opening things up for other people. They were definitely staying focused on Pearsall. Pearsall could have easily had a touchdown if it wouldn't have been for Ben Bartsch and Colt McKivitz not exactly making their blocks. We could have had a touchdown for Pearsall. So I expect him to get in the mix. I don't know if it's going to be a big game. You know, I don't know if it's going to be like, you know, 6 for 80 or something like that, but I do think that he's going to get in there. He'll probably have 4 or 5 catches, and he'll start to change some things depending on how Carolina plays this. They want to sag real deep and try to take away those deep crossers with Ricky Pearsall. Well, then you're going to pay with George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey underneath. If you want to jump on those guys underneath, then, well, Ricky Pearsall is going to have himself a game. And that's kind of the pick your poison that Kyle Shanahan is making defenses choose to do right now.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll be betting Pearsall over on catches and yards this week, which I expect to take a dip in the markets. Cam's dead. Man, my, how things have changed in only a year. He says, do you remember last year where we were counting down games mathematically, how we could get into the playoffs and whatever else, and you know, mock drafts, only 6 wins last year. You've already surpassed that. Man. Could the 49ers actually win the division? Likely no, but possible. Talk to me. You look at the division standings right now. The 49ers are third in the NFC West, but you've already beaten the Rams once. You split that series. You've won against the Seahawks in Seattle. You still have one of those games left. The divisional record, there's no way you're going to lose that. At worst, tie if you win out, but that you have to win that Seattle game. What do you put the chances at the 49ers winning this division? Is that still a possibility?
I think it is. I just don't think it's a great possibility because of how well the Rams and Seahawks have played amongst the rest of the league. They've been playing really well. Now, one thing that's going to go a big way or long ways is if Seattle is able to knock off the Rams when they meet up again. That will kind of help things out. The Buccaneers could do the 49ers a solid by knocking off the Rams this week. That would kind of change some things and put the 49ers right back in the mix. But the truth is the 49ers would probably have to run the table. They're probably going to have to win out to be able to win the division. And I don't know if you can do that with teams like the Colts, and teams like the Seahawks at the end of the season. We'll see how much that game matters. But I think that those are some of the big games. And if they do win out, I think they are finishing at worst second best in the division. But I don't know. Can they catch the Rams? I think that's going to be interesting. It will go a long way if Tampa and Seattle could go ahead and knock them off in the next few weeks.
Man, how cool would that be? And you look at it, the Bucks and Rams, Sunday Night Football, let's go Baker. That helps. It really, it doesn't matter who wins or loses that one. It helps the 49ers because, again, the Bucks, you know, they're sitting there right now. They're 6-4. We're 7-4, but they own the tiebreaker against the 49ers. So, you know, it helps you when the Panthers lose and the Bucks lose. That is a positive, but obviously I'll take the Rams losing any day of the week. I think that is huge. Man, shout out to my man, Jord, and congratulations. Jord's a good dude, man. He's come out and partied with us a few times. He says, "What's up, John? I'm itching to make it out to a road trip this year, but the new baby makes that harder." That's life, man. That's what it is. But congratulations to the Anderson family. We need more Andersons. That's just the way it should go. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, Ant, before we jump out of here, I do want to give you a chance. Is there anything else that you saw on tape this week when you were going through the offense, defense, special teams, whatever, that kind of jumped out to you that maybe people haven't noticed or aren't talking about as much?
I want to go to the linebacker room, and I know that linebacker has been a tough position for the 49ers with all the injuries, but I really did think that D. Winters took a little bit of a step forward. He only had the two missed tackles, which is great. I thought that he played decently well in this one. I thought Nick Martin showed flashes that got me excited about what he could possibly do. The fact that he was out there for just 14 snaps, made an impact on those 14 snaps, I thought was a sign and a good sign and a move in the right direction. And then I liked what I saw from Curtis Robinson. So I'm optimistic about this linebacker crew going into Carolina because it is going to be a main focus to take away Rico Dowdle and that running game, but also stopping Dowdle out of the backfield, catching the football as well. And I think that this linebacker room is showing me steps in the positive direction that I think they can get it done. So that really did jump off to me. It was like, oh, okay, our linebackers are ready to roll. And I think that's a good sign. And no matter how deep it gets, it feels like they always got somebody that's ready to step in and play well. And that just goes a long way to show, number one, how the 49ers evaluate linebacker. Number two, how Johnny Hollins coaches these guys up. The next man up mentality is real. And now we might see Jalen Graham at some point, just to show you how deep this thing is. They got Jalen Graham chilling on the practice squad, and he might have to step up at some point. But I think with Gifford as the number one backup, they're still pretty good to go.
Yeah, he can back up kind of everything. You signed Stone Blanton back to the practice squad, which he's awesome. You know, he's played Mike and Sam and special teams as well. So, yeah, that's there. Like, you're still too deep. When we went into the season, we said the Niners draft linebackers better than and evaluate that better than any other position. Linebacker had more depth going into this season than any other position. Now they're testing that with Fred Warner out, with Tatum Bethune out. Luke Gifford was hurt for a second. Curtis Robinson was hurt for a second. Like, this is the 2025 season. It's not as easy as just, oh, our backup's good. Oh, is your backup's backup good? Because that's what the 49ers are going to try to figure out. And, you know, against this Panthers team, I would still take our linebacker room as is versus what the Panthers are suiting up. So, like, their starters, I would take our backups against them. And if D. Winters just plays average, you're going to be okay. He's the one that's just like, when D. Winters is bad, it's awful. That's my biggest concern. We'll see how that goes. But like you said, he played better last week. And if he can play up and have another week like that, I think that's going to be huge. So, yeah, man, I love it. The 49ers get to play Monday Night Football. Everybody's going to be watching. I cannot wait. You win this game. What was it? 91% chance of the playoffs. Is that right?
Yep. 91% chance to make the playoffs, according to Next Gen Stats. So this is big. This is because it makes it an 8-team race, right? If Carolina loses this, more than likely they're out. And so it makes it an 8-team race. You just have to finish better. And if you look at the NFC North, they're going to beat each other up. Chicago, Detroit, and Green Bay all got to play each other over the next several weeks. They're going to beat each other up. And the 49ers, they've played almost all their divisional games. So they've got a very favorable schedule going down the road. 91% chance is a great opportunity for them. And if the Seahawks lose this week, they fall way down. So there's some big games coming up for the NFC West.
Gosh, I love it. I love this time where all the games matter. You know what I mean? Because, like, early on in the year, yeah, you're checking fantasy and all that stuff, and it's fun, and we're still doing the fantasy stuff. But, like, now you know. Like, you don't care about the Giants, Saints, Commanders, Falcons, Cardinals. Those teams don't matter. And so 7 teams out of 16 get in, but now it's 7 out of 10. So you're looking at those 3 to 4 teams, like who's going to fall by the wayside? Man, this is fun. And I cannot say thank you enough for all you do. Everybody go subscribe to the 49ers Cutback. It is the best of the best of the best of the best. But until next time, that's going to do it for us here. Ant, you're the freaking man. And everybody else, stay strong, faithful.